You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Exodus and chapter 25. Exodus 25. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father again, your day, your time, for us to reap all of the wonderful things that you have in mind, inch by inch and bit by bit. And our God, we're going to thank you very much, even now, in Christ's name, amen. As we were looking this morning, we reminded as Jacob, and Jacob was Israelite, and etc. And God met him in a little place that will ultimately be called Bethel. And God, he had an encounter with God. And he said, this is a dreadful place. It's the place of God, it's the house of God. And he mocked it, Bethel, the house of God. This is where God was. But the rest, everywhere, God is there. In a most wonderful way at that point in history, but not there. So Israel, remember, went, and they got some of them out of Egypt, and for what reason? They had an appointment with God. They were to meet God at Mount Sinai, and that's what they did. God introduced himself at Mount Sinai, and they went and they met God. Now God, and you know, all of these things, we did them. They didn't want to hear God, Deuteronomy 5, 3 and 4. They didn't want to hear God face to face. They didn't want to be talked to God like this. They didn't want to do that. Nope. They rejected it. But God called them to meet, but they didn't want to exercise and enjoy the awesome privilege. They'd been in Egypt, where all of the gods and the pyramids and the gods, so many, but none of them were real. Now they're in the presence of the only God and only Savior. Now, having said that, they didn't want to face God, and they disconnect. They don't mind God, they just don't want to be face to face, point heart to heart. Now, so therefore, God put the tabernacle, the tent. What was the purpose of the tent? Remember, God created us to know him and enjoy him. That's what he did. Everyone on planet Earth was born to know him and honor him. Now, so here they are, they don't want to honor him, and God puts the tabernacle up. What's the purpose of the tabernacle? Exodus 25. And you would call directly, if I may, in the light of all of the time and everything, chapter 25, sliding over, if I can, to verse 20. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat. Now here these cherubim of gold, what are they doing? They're looking. Is there any veil over their face? Is there any covering? No. They're looking straight down at the mercy seat of gold, the seat of gold on the Ark of the Covenant. And the end, toward the mercy seat shall their faces of the cherubim be. And thou shalt put, verse 21, I should say, thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there, in that ark and mercy seat, there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. That's the cloud by day, the fire by night. from the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. So they don't want to meet face to face, but God has a meeting place. You don't want to meet me at Mount Sinai, then I'm going to be right in the middle of you. I'm going to cover you, can't get to me because you don't believe and you don't want to meet me. You want to turn away from me, actually. So therefore, here's the tent. But has God changed his mind about creating us in his image and likeness? No. Is God changed his mind about us knowing him? No. Then God, what are you going to do? I'm going to help. Because Israel is going to be his nation to show all the nations about their existence. So therefore, here's the tent, and here's the meeting place in that tent. Always a meeting place. All in a world, you'll see it in a sec, in a world that doesn't want to meet. They don't want to meet. Israel doesn't want to meet, and they haven't, and they aren't. They will, but they aren't. And the world doesn't want to meet. Hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit, and you know the temple came along, and without turning there in Exodus chapter 40, what did God do with that wonderful tabernacle when it was finished? He filled it with his glory. It was God's place, and the fire by day, and the cloud by day, and the fire by night. It was God's place. Now Solomon built the temple, God's blueprint, and Acts 1 Kings. And when he finished, and the thousands of animals sacrificed, because it was such an awesome, and that was a fearsome thing. It's one thing to kill a few animals. It's another thing to kill thousands of animals. Thousands of animals. I mean, that's impressive. I mean, you don't walk away from that one. Whoa. Wow, blood everywhere. Has to be. Wow. Now, having said that, what did you do, God? You filled the temple full of glory. That's what you did. It was your meeting place. It was the meeting where you want to get to God. And so the tabernacle and the temple were the place where you meet God and seek to meet God. And that's what you did. Well, are there other gods everywhere? Uh-huh. But there's only one place that he singles out to demonstrate his marvelous person. Hang on. To do so. Now, on our way, over if you would please, to, on our way for Psalm 73. And in Psalm 73, you recall, the psalmist, looking at the world around him, being caught up with the fact that they are doing what they do and have fun what they do and have all the things that they do. Here's the believing heart looking, and God separates us out from the world. He makes us strangers and pilgrims, as we shared this morning. He leaves us. Now, so therefore, Psalm 73, verse 3, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, etc., etc., etc. Now, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do looking at your world, your job, your home, school, health, wealth? What are you going to do? Well, what did this believer do? He knew what? What did he know? Even though unbelief in the temple, temple was there. Wow. Verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me when I tried to put the pieces together. When I try to make it come out all right for me, I don't have to be alone and lonely and insecure, no. Until, verse 17, I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Where did you get settled? I went before God. What's the sanctuary for? To meet God. To go where God is in a special way. God's everywhere. But then there's a special place where God is. And there's no place like it. Hang on. No place like it. And I'm going to jump way ahead here, but we think of what, when I was in the IFCA and all that stuff and the committees and all those different things, and we had one team of people come in, and they called in the media, the whatever you call them, I forgot the name, to do your business for us. And they wanted to call in at some price that was silly to pay them in order to help the churches learn how to worship. That's what we want to do. And they have programs, and that's where you have worship teams and all the stuff that we got to do to worship. Anyway, that's what they did. I didn't vote for it. In fact, I was so popular, I said, I would never do that. You can't replace God. Exodus 20. Nothing anywhere. No one, no person, no thing. Just God. Thou shalt have no other gods, no other thing before me. You can't beat being in the presence of God. But we've got to, hang on, boy, got to get there. I get it now. So, in the sanctuary, and you have the same thing, Psalm 42. How am I going to have a happy face? How am I going to get comforted by going in, and God is the help, the healing of my face, my countenance? We shared it with a flashlight. God, you go and do that for us. We are in the sanctuary. Now, Israel, you didn't do too well. No. No, you didn't. And 70 years captivity, and you built another little temple. Nothing, no glory in this temple, but a temple, a building to satisfy our religious. You got to make sure you have a Bible and a building and something to show that you're Christian. You got to have something to show that, and they got their building to show they're Jewish and they're honoring God, and it was a good thing for motive for most of them, but it didn't mean, here's 100 years go by, and Malachi, over if you would, Malachi, last book, then Malachi, what do we know? Before the 400 years of silence until John the Baptist, what do we know? Malachi, Chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 6, in the light of all of the context. I'm going to read verse 2 because it's so good. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. You picked Jacob over Esau, right? Esau had no heart. No heart for me. He's going to sell his birthright. He's going to sell his blessing. He don't care anything about me. He just cares about his stomach and his little world that he lives in. And God, you never know this till you come the end of the Old Testament. God said, I want you to know, I only love Jacob. Esau didn't care. He didn't care. Now, sliding down to verse 6. A man honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, ruler, owner, where is my fear? If you understand I'm your creator, I'm the only savior, I'm the only God, if you understand that, and I am who I am, God, in magnificence, Why don't you honor me and fear me? You'd fear a king, like we should. You'd fear a judge. You'd fear whatever, all kinds of different ways to say it. We'd fear them. We'd respect them. We'd honor them. Your honor, that's what we say. Your honor. Your highness. But you don't say it to God. He's your God and creator. No fear. Nope. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to Romans in chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, picking up, please, if I may. In Romans 1, I'm going to go in the light of all of these wonderful things, but picking it up, I'll deal at least verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, made clear, public, plain, in the person's heart, in the person's mind, God makes himself known. For God, and the reason, so you don't have to ever guess, but God hath showed it unto them. So there's never to say, well, I don't know God. Wrong. God made himself known when you were born as a little baby and as you grew. And you either canceled him out or you kept him in. But my parents didn't. Then you followed your parents. You'd follow their religion. You'd follow their. If you were in make-believe Australia, you became a worshiper of kangaroos, wherever you are. And that's what we do. And you gave up that knowledge of God. Hang on. God, remember Israel, face to face, God wants them, but they didn't want to meet. Over, verse 20. And the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that eternal power, deity and awesome omnipotence and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, they didn't want to know. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature, honoring humans, honoring the system. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They just did not honor God and the Creator. And, to say it, a little worship. They didn't want to worship. They don't worship. They didn't want to honor him. He's the only God, the only Savior. Chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Look, this is the world. So God, why do you have to have a sanctuary? Why a meeting place? The world has rejected me. They don't want anything to do. Think of the days of Noah. They don't want anything to do with me. I want to save them, but they don't want to be saved. I want to be their God. I am God. But they don't want that. So therefore, God, you always have a place to meet. The world's busy doing what it does, but you have a place to meet. A sanctuary. Wow, hang on. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, God, here over to Acts, go over to the book of Acts, if you would, and in chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, picking up the thought, and you know, what did the early church do? Well, verse 46, 2 and 46. And they continue daily with one accord, one heart. Where? In the temple. That was understandable. And breaking bread from the house to house, they did eat their meat, food, with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So where were they? Well, they started in the one place you'd expect, the sanctuary. Where do God's people go with God? The sanctuary. That's where they go. And so as you turn pages, chapter 4, and remember what they're doing and looking to God, and that's what they assembled. They assembled in their meeting. Remember the word church? It means assembly, the assembling of the people. Assembled people assembled together. That's what we're doing. We're assembled together. What were they doing? They were assembled. And when they did, verse 33, chapter 4, remember, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Where was that? When they were meeting together. So how could you be with them and not know of God? Man, that was one exciting place. The synagogues, but the normal, we read the scriptures and we teach this, but not God, not God. These people were fully, wonderfully excited about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God had given them life. And they were expressing that life as an in a body, Christ the body, church his body, assembled together, and the life, coming out of them. They were so glad to be saved and forgiven. Wow. It was exciting, wonderfully exciting. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to chapter 5, and what else do we know? Well, they were so excited, and it was so foreign to the Jews. Judaism wasn't like that, and Christianity, God in Christ was. And therefore, what do we know? Well, here's the thing going on. I'm interested in how it comes out. Chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's temple. That's what they were doing. And of the rest, the crowds, this is a phenomenon, what's going on. And they're all, here's temple, Solomon's temple, court where you can go around. And all the people are out there. You can just imagine it's a big show. Looking, wow, look at all these people, what they're doing. They're singing, they're happy, they're excited. Excited crowd, they're looking. Verse 43. And the rest, durst, the word durst is dear, D-A-R-E, dear. They did not dare step out and get near them. They stood back. They stood away. These people are, wow, we don't want to get connected. Except that's where the crowd did, because the crowd doesn't meet with God. The synagogues and going to services, that's fine. But you don't meet with God. Well, none of them dared. None of them durst dare join himself to them. But the people magnified them. They said, boy, these people got something going for them. These people got something going for them. Wow. It was a wonderful thing. And one by one, they'd step out, and they dared to leave the crowd, to leave the. And when they did it, remember, at that point, you could lose your job, your father and mother would reject you, your husband might reject you, your wife might reject you. You went and joined that. You ever hear that? Well, you went. I got saved, Mom. They got saved, and they say, what had happened to you? And you may believe I'm a strict Roman Catholic, and whatever, just kidding. Here I am, wow, Catholic. You didn't do that, did you? You better reject that. Mom, you need to read this. Don't give us anything. Don't make us read anything. Don't make us, and separate, right? Oh, how many, over the years, I've heard that. Different times, wow. And I said, listen, just relax. Take a big, deep breath and thank God. And your mother and father may not give you a supper. They may take away the key to the house, but relax. And in due season, you just stay alive, healthy, and well, and enjoy being saved. And I'll tell you, they'll give in. I'll bet you $1,000. They'll yield. I'll bet you. I'm a betting man. I'll bet you. You wait and see. They have nothing. They can't afford to agree with you without, if they agree with you, then they're wrong in what they think, isn't it? Then they're wrong. They can't afford to agree with you because then they're saying that they're wrong. The system then they're in is wrong. So you can't afford to do that. And you have to understand. So now, none dared join it. None would openly do that in whatsoever. So here's the early church. And the early church was doing, meeting. And they met. They met the first day of the week and all of these different things. And they met. Now, having said that little bit, and in the light of Romans, keeping that in mind, God, so... And we shared together that in Malachi that they had no fear of God. We read in Romans they have no fear of God. So why aren't there? Why can't we just? We're supposed to have a fear of God. Whether we eat, drink, whatever we do, we're just being alive, we should have a fear of God, reverence for God, His awesome person. But we don't. So. Now, God, now how are we going to find that? Well, God, you're going to have to help us. Over, if you would please, back over to Deuteronomy for a minute. Deuteronomy and chapter 31. As you know, I'm just reminding you, in one place, all kinds of places, it says it simple in what we're doing to understand it. And in Deuteronomy, chapter 31, here they are. Remember, they're going to cross the Jordan pretty quick. And chapter 31, picking up, if I can, verse 12, directly in the light of the context. Gather the people together, men, women, children, strangers, that is within thy gates. Why? That they may hear. And that they may learn and fear the Lord your God to observe to do all the words of this law. Where are you going to get it? Strangers? Well, I'm not at you, but I'm in Jerusalem. I'm just a little kid. The little kid. The atmosphere. The atmosphere is what wins. Do you understand? The atmosphere. In the 60s, remember the baby boomers outnumbered 17 million of them, and in the years that 22, the generation previous, was only 43 million, and 17 million, and they were so huge, they were a culture unto themselves. We shared it the other day on Wednesday, and usually we said all these things. Remember saying it back then. We used to remember the fad. How many people can you get in a phone booth? You remember that? How many people can you fit in a phone booth? You know, big thing, right? Now, how long does that last? Well, not very long. And you don't do that. And you get absorbed into the adult world, wherever they are. But back then, they never got absorbed. The adult world yielded to them. And they took over. They took over. They had, I don't get all that back again, the generation, they wanted to make sure the kids had everything. And they had, that's why they could go on drugs. They didn't have to pay attention in school. Because what did it matter? Everything is there for them forever. Forever, everything's there. And it wasn't. But that's what they thought. And that's what they did. And they took over. Now, anyway, point. The point. How do we reach the children? In the sanctuary. In the sanctuary and in the home. And the home has to do it. If the sanctuary was where it could be, should be, a place of worship, then when people come in, parents come in, they respect. They aren't fighting in the car before they get in here and come in and do whatever, and they come in, they have to sit and through the hear that guy speak some things from the Bible and do that. No. They're meeting, come to meet God. They came to be in the presence of God in the assembly. That's what they came. And everyone there, the little kid senses it. What's he getting? A sense of God. You're not going to get it anywhere else. It's there. And if the parents catch that and have it, then the little kid grows up at home with a fear of God. My family feared God. It doesn't mean they all get saved, because Adam and Eve certainly feared God. Adam and Eve certainly had everything. It makes us look like nothing in many ways, because that sin had just happened. They had so much going for them. Their first child, Cain, raised in their home down the tubes. Cain. So parents, parent, and Ezekiel 18, every soul is accountable to God. You can't blame the parents. The kids can't blame the parents. The parents can't blame the kids. Can't blame their grandparents. Can't blame their father and mother. No one can blame anybody. Ezekiel 18. Everyone is accountable to God directly. So you can't do that. You can't do that. And if you're going to keep going on that thought, over to 1 Corinthians. There's 5,000 things, so we sort of mumble over a couple, and not very systematically, but 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and you'll pick up another piece of information that you already know. In chapter 7, what is that? You'll remember, half of the Roman Empire then was slaves. So you had all kinds of slaves, and slaves got married and everything. But when you're a slave, the wife has to do what the master says, and the husband has to do what the master says. And he may split them up, he may do whatever. They're slaves, even though they're married slaves. And it was a dilemma. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and verse 12, and to the rest speak I not the Lord? If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Don't divorce her. Love her. Verse 13, and the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Stay in there. Four, reason, why would you consistently hold in there when the other person stays unsaved or doesn't get saved? Verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified, set apart by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified and set apart by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they're holy. What's that mean? The one believer, and we shared all these things like an umbrella. the storm, the rain's coming down. And the one believer has the umbrella. And everyone connected, husband, wife, kids, if they stay with the man, the saved mother, saved father, they're going to be under the umbrella. And they enjoy. What about the Israelites? It was a holy nation. Are they all holy? Are they all saved? No. No. Did they enjoy God's tabernacle in the middle of them? Absolutely. That doesn't mean they were saved. They had the benefits if they wanted them, but they didn't. You have to want them. You have to understand them. You have to have a healthy fear of God in a very, very good way. So Israel, not face to face, having no fear. Here's the early church. The church was so excitingly real because they didn't have the New Testament like you do. All they had is the Old Testament and God. And God filled in all the pieces that would be that we would have. He did it automatically with them. And they had a wonderful, wonderful thing, as it were. So therefore, all the while, looking to God, and we share that, you know, the church. I can't even do it now. Maybe I should do it. Oh, well, no. Well, you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and you're there, and I want to remind you, lest we'll never get there, 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And reminding you and myself about what? What about the sanctuary? It's the place where you learn to fear God. It's God's place. Wow. So I need to be in that place. I have no business up here if I'm not in that place. And fortunately, God helps me in that. Otherwise, I'd flunk out in 2 seconds. Wow. A fear of God. And that's what people don't like. They never liked it. The conferences when we try to speak and help them. They said, you always speak so authoritatively. You don't give us any elbow room. What about the other opinion? What about the other issue? There is none. What does it say? That's what you do. Wow. Wow. So the sanctuary is a place to get understanding of God. A place where God is to be worshipped. A place where God's authority. God's authority, it's His Word. We're in His presence. In particular, we aren't out there in the street. We're here. And God, this is where God put all the pieces. It's all 1,000% what I'm trying to say to you. And it's all backed up in God's holy Word. 1,000 times. It's in God's place. You want help? You need to know there's a God. You aren't going to know it out there. And the children need to know in the home, as they go to school, work, grow up, they need to know what? By mom and dad are trusting God in work and home and their ills and aches and health and everything. They're learning to look to God and help them through everything. And the children see that. So there's always a way, always a solution. And the solution is God. They always look to God, pray to God, trust God, thank God. That's what they do. And I grow up doing that. Most never grew up having that. They never had that. And it isn't there. And all the wonderful things, anyway. Now, over if I can, 1 Corinthians 14. And you know what, if I can pick it up in verse 23, context. If therefore the whole church assembly be come together in one place, because that's the sanctuary, meeting place, that's what they do. They all speak, and they all speak with tongues, languages, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelieving, unbelievers. Will they not say that they are mad? They're cuckoo. They're cuckoo. Doing that. What kind of people are these? Well, they can't have gibberish and all kinds of languages. You should have a little order, decency, decently in an order in Corinthians. And therefore, verse 24, but if all prophesy, looking to God's word, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all. For thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, clear, public, plain. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth. I've said that how many times over the years. That's our purpose. Come in the presence. You come in through that door, we're in the presence of God, and we act it and show it. That's why we always tell you to don't. People used to come in, try to hug each other and everything, and there's nothing wrong with that at the right spot. But it isn't that. We're here, assembled. Think of Muslims, unsaved Muslims, and watch them when they get down in a big mass of people, and they're all, kneeling down, orderly, one way, order. So the church, order. It's God's place. And the people are all in the presence of God, like we read in Revelation this morning, 4 and 11 and that, God, that we're in the presence. And we act like we're in the presence. We strive to stay awake. We live like, that's why with the virus and all of this, we're spread out all over the place. I understand that. But as God help us to get past that, we may never get past it. And that's unfortunate, but that's one of the awesome things that the devil and the system has taken advantage of in the virus, to break up the normal businesses and stuff, religion, no, but to kill the church, to break up an orderly, dear remnant of believers, wherever they are on planet Earth, assembled together, honoring God's presence. Like the umbrella, to get rid of that. And that's what's happened, to kill it, isn't it? And the little bit I got from what's going on, that's what I gather from my dear friends, of people, chap pastors. They aren't fixing it. They went and even took more drastic moves than we did. And I'm out to get rid of the dumb things. Because it isn't helping. But we got to work through it, because each is in a different stage, different state. They don't understand. They aren't understanding worship. That doesn't mean they do understand it, but they need to. We need to understand it better. They don't understand the fear of God. What's worship do? It brings you into the presence of God to have a fear. I learned to fear God. God and his word and his work and his authority, and they may not know anything, but they watch us, they watch each other, and they see what? They see that we honor God's word, and we want to honor it and look to God. Are we afraid? No. Are we insecure? No. Are we unsafe? No. No, no. I went into the sanctuary, Psalm 73. And then I understood Psalm 42. I went into the sanctuary, and I went in with the people that were glad. And I wonder, why am I cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. He is the healing, the health of my face. That's what we're doing. That's what it's for. Now, I'm going to say all this a little bit. It won't do much good because people aren't even here. People come once in a while. What pieces do they have? Do they put them all together? No, they don't. And we'll keep doing it, and the Lord will come sometime, I hope. And we'll have to sing it again to get him to come. It'll help, Steve. And in the process, here we are. Do you understand that? What you're up against. How are we going to get a body of people? Well, the people, they come and go and whatever. And you can't build like that. It's a building of the heart, having a deeper sense of God, a fear of God, so that I can live out there. I need to be able to go. And we said it this morning with Peter, you're sojourning here in fear. That's what we need to do. And we do, where do we go? In God's place. When people come in, we aren't here to honor them. We aren't here to, for any reason except to let God be God in our little head and heart, your big head and heart, to let God be God. That's what we're doing. That's what it's for. It doesn't mean you become a genius in the scriptures, no. But you're sensing God. He's the solution. He's the Savior. He's your life. He makes it all work. He does. Did I remember the verse right? Well, you may not remember the verse. You may not remember anything. But you know God. And you trust God. And you thank God. So when the big, big polar bear comes charging at you, you try to play dead and trust God. That's what you do. And if he eats, then the polar bear had a meal, and God took you home. And God takes you home. So, no big deal. Wow. Now God, here we are, God. It's a purpose, what, for God? What's the world say? The world says God's in this place. Not we got to close the church, you can't have more than 10, you can't have more than 50, you can't do this, can't do that. Dear sirs, do you understand what you're talking about? You're talking about God's place, where God is. So be careful, sir. Don't tread. 1 Corinthians 3, don't mess with the church that's in God's place. They fear God, and God will move heaven and earth if he has to see that they survive. Revelation chapter 3, the church in Philadelphia. I know you have little strength. I know that. Verse 10, I'm coming. Before what? Because you're going to live, Laodicea. We have need of nothing. The church, the ecumenism, Revelation 17, that's where we're going. That's where we're going. Wow. So here we are looking to God to awaken our heart, to move our heart. And God, is it going to be so as we trust you? Oh God, we're going to trust you. And in the process, we want to help the children, want to help each one. But I can't, and you can't help anybody. That's why you work out your own salvation, underline with what? Fear and trembling. Not you work it out. Don't say, I'm going to work it out. Make sure you say it. I'm going to work it out in fear and trembling. That's what I do. So it isn't a little game. It isn't a fun time that you can pick and choose and Monday and do this and Tuesday you can do whatever. No, it's a way of life. It is life. And remember in John chapter 6, 66, don't turn there. What did he say when he has all the disciples, crowd following him? And he told them, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, except you receive me as your Savior, you will die in your sins. And many what? Walked no more with him. And he turned around to his 12 and said, what are you guys going to do? You guys going to leave me? And Peter piped up rightly, who else has the words of life? Who else is God? Just you. That Buddha, Allah, the government, schools, philosophy, opinions, and interpretations and theories, they aren't God. God is God. So now, here we are looking at God, trying to move down the corridor of time and looking to you to help us in every way. Now, having said that, if I can, Psalm 29. Appreciate your patience. I hope you got a little bit as we just journey along here. Why is the sanctuary? You can't replace it. No, sir. I'm a believer. I love God. I look at the trees and worship the trees. I don't worship the trees. I look at the trees, and I look at bugs, and I care about God. That is not the same as worship. The only way you get there is when you're in the presence of God. And then, as you learn to fear God, as you worship God, the fear of God, and the fear of God gets you to worship God the more. And as you do that, you go to work and school and home, and you do it in a fear of God because you have learned it and you understand it. Where? In the sanctuary. The churches don't. We're trying to at least understand it. We may not get there, but we're trying. Psalm 29. And Psalm 29 is here somewhere. Psalm 29. Oh, there we are. Verse 1. David, help us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, which we just did this morning. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy. Worship the Lord in the beauty of being saved, sanctified, set apart for God. You and I are just little vessels of clay to honor him. To honor him. And that's who we are. God, and why can we do so? Because God saves us. He's our shepherd. And our shepherd takes the sheep and wonderfully makes us sons, and as sons of the Father. Abba, Father. So you say it, Spirit of God. Or never stop saying it, do you? Abba, Father. So remember, God, your Creator. Worship him in spirit and truth. And God calls all of us to do so. And there's no way to substitute. There is no substitute for worship. Do you understand? There's nothing that can substitute for worship. And the fear of God is the resulting of worship. When we leave worship out, then we're sitting there singing and reading and teaching and listening without a fear of God. And we aren't going to worship because we aren't learning in his awesome presence. And I wish that I could do it. And right now, Mr. McNaughton is not doing well. In fact, I hope I said it. I'm going to say it if I have it to him, if he hears it. Mr. McNaughton is now sliding into eternity comfortably. How's that? And God gives it to us in like that, different ways to go. And when you're there, you just don't have a lot. Yet what, he just shuts down. It just shuts down. Nicely shuts down. So when those things, you just sort of slide along and let them slide into eternity. It's a wonderful thing. And God does that. Well, God, we aren't there yet. But, and we're looking to you, God, to help us. So that's what we're trying to do and learn. And we want to. We want little children. If anyone wants them, before you say anything, I know you wouldn't anyway. Do you care about your children more than God? Who created them? Who owns them? Who are they accountable to? God, God, God. You don't own them. God does. And God saves them if they would be saved. And we need to understand that so that we're looking to God to do what he wants to do and let him do it to us to show the other people that it can be done. You can really get saved. And that's why we come and worship in the assembly. And to have a big thing, a big screen and going, that's why Jewish worship is a side thing. I don't quit. Remember when we did the curtains of the building and the Jewish sanctuary. What's the Jewish philosophy, at least some of it? What is it? Make sure the sanctuary doesn't distract from worship with lights and colors and curtains. Make sure it doesn't distract you so that nothing in this building should take away from your sense of God. Nothing. Just God. And that's what we did. It was good sense, good common sense, and we did it. Well, that's what it should be. It isn't about anything. Nothing to distract us from God, you see. I don't even have a lot of funny stories to tell you. I don't have a lot. I never had a lot. I don't know why Jeanette married me. I never had any funny stories. I never had any funny stories. Well, it's about God. God's a wonderful person. And when you lay down in your bed tonight, God, the whole ball of wax is yours. From start to finish. Before I was ever born. And here I am right now, and where I'm going to be, God, you're already there. God, thank you. Thank you. Learning to reverence and fear God, to be awed by his awesomeness, and not just a nice story or a nice outline. All of that is wonderful, but it doesn't replace worship of God. Nothing does. Worship plus nothing makes for everything. Our Father and God, we thank you for this little bit. As we stumbled along through it, God, help us to understand a little better. And God, that we would have the benefits. Here we are in the end, God. We're just a remnant trying to hang in there and do the job. So help us, Spirit of God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for taking us and making us have a happy, healthy, holy relationship. God, you want all of that to work for us. So that, God, we live in the wonderful triumphant, to be triumphant in your grace. To proclaim the wonderful knowledge of you, our Savior. God, by just living and enjoying, you said, we cannot please you except we understand that you is. You always is God. Never other than God. Wonderfully, wonderfully God. Thank you very much. give safety, encouragement on the highway and all of that. And God, may many come to know you in these days. Take care of our president, our country, Israel, and all of these things. God, all the stuff that's going on, we have no control over it. And God, it's all taking place. God, we need to be what? Found in the sanctuary for our understanding, so that we don't get frustrated and all fouled up inside. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.